Praise God. It's a great privilege once again to be here and to remember and to pray for various matters. And at this time, we'll be continuing from the parables. And then the topic for today is the parable of the lost coin. And I've been meditating on this, and just so wonderful and amazing to see that how God sent his only begotten son to save a sinner like me who was lost. And let's read from Luke chapter 15. Just going to read from chapter 15, starting from verse 1 to 3, and then reading from 8 to just build that context. So, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with him." So he spoke this parable to them, saying. So one thing I just kind of going through this, it kind of amazed me that how Lord used parables or metaphors to illustrate heavenly truths to the crowd that followed him. You know, and then you see that, you know, I was just kind of, what prompted our Lord Jesus Christ to, you know, tell these parables, you know, and we read this portion. It says that, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So that prompted these three parables. So the first parable, I know Jeff did cover on that, the parable of the lost sheep. Then, last week, we did hear the parable of the lost son. And today we are going to think and meditate upon the parable of the lost coin. So, you know, when the Pharisees and the scribes asked this question, this prompted Jesus to tell these parables. And one of the interesting thing, what I, again, and I'm going to use this word, amazes me, as I was just going through this, in all these parables, God chose small objects or circumstances of life were familiar with the people. What do I mean by that? You know, like when you look at the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd, the object was the sheep. And to a shepherd, the sheep was the most valuable thing. And when you look at the lost coin, object is the lost coin, and the most precious thing to her was the coin. And if you look at the lost son, you could see that the object was the son, and the most important thing to the father was his son. So it shows that, you know, how valuable is it for the owner or the possessor of these items. And we could see that the purpose of choosing these parables is to show the deep love and care between the owner and the object. That is the purpose, what we see. If you look at the purpose, this is the main purpose, to show the deep love and care between the owner and the object. So here, Jesus Christ is drawing drawing the attention of the crowd to show the relationship that exists between God and the man. So let's read, starting from Luke chapter 15, verse 8 again. Or what woman having 10 silver coin, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I was lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So, you know, when we look at this, you know, we could see that the woman had this 10 silver coins. And as I said, these coins were very precious to this woman. And in a silver coin in those days were equal to a day's wage. And I just want to just show in those days, you know, women wore upon their forehead a frontlet or a headband to carry these valuable valuable coins. So it is believed to indicate their marriage, and therefore it was very precious to them. So they usually carry these coins over here, and that's all because it was very precious to them. So here is, again, Jesus is trying to talk to the crowds, drawing the attention of the crowd to show the relationship between the God and man. Thus, the lost silver coin points out to the lost state of the man. Just imagine, you know, this woman carrying it, and then if she loses this one coin, because this coin was so precious, right? And I was kind of going through this, and then, you know, sometimes when we have things in plenty, right, when we lose, we don't kind of really, okay, that's okay. We don't really care about those things. But for this woman, this coin was so precious that she kind of, you know, puts out all her effort to find this lost coin. And that's what God is trying to, you know, draw our attention, showing that that God loves his creation. So, and the one silver coin explicitly points to the mankind. It brings out a very important out of nine, right? If you like, nine is safe and secure, but one is lost. So out of all his creation, nine is still in his safe and secure in his hands, but one is lost. So this lost, you know, shows our state. You know, we were lost once, and that shows our state. So, and God is trying to secure back to his us into his fold. And Romans 2:23, it says that for all have sinned and fall short glory of God. Romans 3:11 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one seeks God. So when, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, right, we all know the story that how he had that relationship between, that he had an intimate relationship with Adam. But you can, later on, you could see that because of his disobedience, that intimate relationship was lost. And then you could see how God is still, you know, and I was kind of going through this. And when you come to chapter 5, right, God was so grieved in his heart because of the sin. He wanted to destroy, but still he used Noah. You know, Noah went and started telling about this, that God is going to destroy, and the only way you can escape from is to enter into the ark. But you could see, instead of obeying the commandment, right, what Noah's talking about, you know, they disobeyed. They were ready to kill Noah for what he was talking. So still, you could see how God's heart for his lost ones. So when we look at the value of the lost coin, right? Once a coin is lost, it loses its value and it becomes useless. You know, once you lost a coin, once you lost something, especially a coin, right, it loses its power. It loses its value, and also it's useless. It loses its purchasing power. A coin by itself has no worth. A coin is only valuable when someone can use it to buy something or when it is in someone's possession. If we have the coin, then it has the power. Otherwise, once you lose the coin, it loses its value, it loses its purchasing power. The coin cannot do anything by itself. So in our lost state, it shows our lost state, right? We are worthless and cannot be used by God for his purpose. In Psalms 8:4, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you visit him. Unless we are back in God's position, we are nothing, and God cannot use us to accomplish his plan. Man cannot approach a holy God. In Psalms 136:23, it says, but God remembered us in our lowest estate. So we as humans, you know, once we were lost, we were worthless, but, you know, God remembered in our lowest estate. So this woman, as soon as she lost the coin, she goes and looks for this lost coin, as I said, because it is very precious to her. So you could see that, you know, she lost the coin, and she takes three actions to restore or find this coin. So the first action she does is she lights a lamp. The second action, you could see that she sweeps the house. And the third action, she searches carefully. So all this action, if you see that, you know, she's not asking for any help. It's, you know, she's taking these actions, you know, in actions. So these actions correlate with the three actions performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. There was none who can accomplish the task of salvation and reestablish the fellowship between God and man other than the Christ himself. You know, only God could accomplish our salvation, and that we could see that by sending his only begotten son to this world. And that's how, you know, he accomplished his salvation. So Hebrews 10 verse 9, it says, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. So that he came to do the will of the Father. So he came for a purpose. His perfect purpose was us to save us from this wretched world and bring back to us to the fold. Just like this woman took the responsibility to restore the lost coin, our Lord voluntarily took upon himself the responsibility of saving the lost humanity and did everything that was necessary to restore us back to the God's possession. So moving on, the first action, I just want to go a little more on the first action. The first action is the woman did was just to light a lamp. So if you look at those days in Jewish homes, it was poorly lighted because there was no windows. It was dark. So she has to light a lamp necessary to light a lamp to illuminate the house so that she can start looking for this coin. So the Lord was revealing to the crowd that this world was in darkness and needs a light lit to illuminate God's glory to mankind. So that shows, you know, we could see that light, the God came into this world to save wretched sinners us like who were lost in the darkness. John 8 verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 1:9 says, Christ is the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. So you could see this world is full of darkness and under the control of the rulers of the darkness. But Christ had to come to this world as the true light to lead us back to the back to God. And in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So you could see that how it's not because of us or because of what we have done, because God set aside his glory to came in search of sinners like me and like us. In Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us or rescued us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the darkness, so into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So he transformed us from the darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. So the first action you could see is the woman lights a lamp in order to find the lost coin. And the second action is we could see that she started to sweep the house. So what prompted, so as soon as she left the house, she could see the dirt around her house, because naturally the house is dark. As soon as she left the house, she could find the dirt. And the light which was lit caused the woman to see this dirt accumulated over the years. And only if there is a light, one can truly access the state of things. So coming of Jesus Christ as a true light was to reveal the sinful nature that was within us, which could be changed only by the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And if you could see that she did not just sweep the house, we could see the extent of sweeping. She did not sweep just one part of the house, but she did sweep the whole house. She just, you know, cleared the entire house to find this coin. This points to the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins of the whole world. His death was to forgive the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2 says, "He himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our only, but also of the whole world." This points out to the true Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to bore the sins of the whole world. So you could see that how the room was lit, and now she could see, and she started sweeping the whole house. This, as I said, this points out the truth that God did not just come to save me, but to save the entire humankind. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that, you know, we would receive eternal life." And the last action she could see is that she just searches carefully. She kind of, you know, it's not that, okay, I'm going to, you know, she was, her intention was to find this coin. She kind of searches carefully. She did not initiate the search with a mindset that if she finds it, it's great. If not, all she was lost was, she lost was of coin. Rather, she puts all her effort in the search to find the lost coin that was dear to her. She had a specific purpose, and that was to find and restore this lost coin. You know, there might be times during her search that she thought of giving up the lost coin, but she kept on searching until she found the lost coin. And the lesson that we could learn from here is similarly, our Lord Jesus Christ also came searching for us that we can restore, so that he can restore us to God. Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And in, you know, the moment Adam and Eve sinned, God came looking for them in the garden and made them the tunics of skin and clothed them. God started looking for us from the very moment we fell short of the glory, of his glory. And his desire was to bring us back to his possession and have that fellowship. So you could see the three action the woman took was she did light the lamp, she did sweep the house, she did search. And then once she's done with that, you could see that she finds this lost coin. Now the coin which was lost has been found because what she did. She did not give up. She looked for it. Finally, she found this coin and brought the coin back and restored back to that original position where she had originally. And then, similarly, when our Lord Jesus provides us salvation, he also made provision for our security. That means the moment a sinner accepts and believes on Christ as his, on her personal savior, the same moment he or she has eternally secured. So our salvation is not lost. You could see that as soon as the coin is lost, She looks for it, she finds it, and she brings back to that original state. So that shows that the salvation is eternally secured. So in Ephesians 2 verse 6, 7, Paul says that we were raised up together and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. John 10 verse 28 and verse 28 and 29 says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." So our salvation is secured. No one can take away our salvation. And the other thing what I kind of notice is the role of the lost coin is, you know, to be found was nothing. The coin did not play any role. The coin did not have any role in. All the action was taken by the woman, by lighting the lamp, sweeping, searching, and bringing back to the original fold. So in our lost state, there is nothing we can do to be found. It shows our inability to save ourselves. So God planned our salvation, purposed it, and brought this mighty and glorious salvation to mankind. We did not do anything for our salvation. On contrary, we did everything against God. And so there is every reason for him not to save us. We have no part in the redemptive work of Christ. It is absolutely the gift of God. So in Ephesians, as we read, right, we have nothing to boast. It's just by grace alone that we are here. You know, as the coin did not do anything, the woman had to do everything to bring back the coin to restore back the coin to its original position. So as the coin was lost, we were lost once. And because of God's grace, we have nothing to boast other than that to say, to be thankful to God that he brought us back to his fold. It's everything, the honor, the glory, everything goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what is the motivation behind Christ's suffering? When we just look back, right? When we just look all this, what we heard, what made Christ to bring back to us, back to our original position from our lost estate? So as I said, you know, when in Genesis, we read how Adam sinned, God had that intimate relationship with man. Man, because of disobedience, you know, he lost that intimacy, but still God wanted to restore that relationship. So in Philippians, we read that God gave up his glory. He sent only begotten son to this world to die for wretched sinners like us. You know, that's what he did. The motivation behind this suffering was to bring back to his fold. So you know, the one question as we do is, now we are back. You know, as I was going through this, I was lost once. I was rethinking about, at the age of 16, I accepted Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And I was lost. I was alienated from the Commonwealth of Israel. I had no hope. And I was far away from God. And I could not, you know, restore myself back to God. But God loved me so much that 2,000 plus years ago, God sent his only begotten son to this world to die for my sins. He wanted to bring me back to this fold. Because as I said in Genesis chapter 5, you know, it grieves God's heart. And then, you know, he sent his only begotten son. He did not condemn us. In Romans 5, he says that he did not, you know, God did not send his son to condemn us, but to save us, to give us that eternal life. then as we see here is, you know, there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. And I said, you know, God rejoices when one sinner repents. So what is our role? I was just thinking what we have to do. I know God in Matthew's, it clearly says that we have to be witnesses of this lost world. So what I'm doing, or what are we doing to save people that are lost around us? What is our role? You know, what is our role to reach out to this lost world? May this thought encourage us to reach out to this lost world in this coming days. May his name be glorified.